Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very cathartic edition of Sunday Night's Main Event. My name is Jason Agnew, and this week I am going to be joined by the other four gentlemen who make Sunday Night's Main Event go, go, go each and every week here on TSN Radio, along with all the podcasts that we do. Of course, I'm talking about my longtime partner, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, bartender Dave, Joe Aguinaldo, and Mark Andrada will be joining me here in studio for the worst of 2019 in the world of professional wrestling. Now, before we get into the actual show, I actually re-recorded this intro because I want to make it very clear. We recorded this show a mere 48 hours before the Lana, Rusev, Lashley, Liv, wedding, lesbians, cake angle on Raw. So unfortunately, even though this is the worst of episode, that will not factor into our picks, which, you know, honestly, that might be a great thing because that angle could have come on in and swept the entire show. So instead, you'll get a bit of variety as far as our picks go. This is a show that we have been doing for nearly 20 years. It ends up being our favorite show of the year because we get to relive all those moments that we are embarrassed of being a wrestling fan. Those moments that when you're sitting there watching it at your house and your wife or husband in some cases walks in and says, "What are you watching?" Those are the moments we're talking about tonight. We're going to take a break and then come on back. The boys join me in the studio to chat about the worst that we watched in 2019 in the world of pro wrestling. That's next right here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
It is the worst of 2019. That's what we'll be talking about today. And in the studio, they have assembled once again Dan the Mouth Lavransky, Joe Aguinaldo, bartender Dave, Mark Andrada, and myself, the five guys, that is, who make Sunday Night's Main Event each and every week for you. Guys, thanks for joining me this week.
Hooray!
Blah!
Let's get into it. It's cathartic, Mouth.
It
we
is.
Do it every year,
it
and we talk
I
about...
I feel better already.
Well, we have to watch so much professional wrestling, and because of that, there are many things, not just because of that, but there are many things each and every year that are not very good, and this is the show where we talk about all those things all at once. And we kick things off with our picks. We've got about 20 categories on the show today, so we're going to run through them all and talk about them. We kick things off with Worst Wrestler of 2019. Now, last year, Mouth, you and I were in complete agreement, and I believe he's probably your all-time worst wrestler ever, and that is Shane McMahon.
Yes, for me, yes.
We're also going to be revealing on this show the patrons' pick. You guys could have voted, and last year you did that as well, and 42% of you... cover your ears, bartender Dave. But 42% of you last year picked Baron Corbin as
your pick. I'll never understand.
For worst wrestler, one of your favorites.
He's so good.
Worst wrestler of 2019, Dan Lavransky, where are you headed?
Well, I want to pick, I'm picking this guy regardless, but I feel a lot of it's not his fault. I feel a lot of it is he's just saddled with a terrible gimmick, and that's Bray Wyatt. Mm-hmm. I just can't handle, I'm not buying The Fiend. I don't like the promos. I don't like the Firehouse Fun, whatever it's called, gimmicks. I don't, and the matches, he doesn't connect with fans when he is in the ring. He gets saddled with these gimmicks like the red light on the matches and stuff. I just, anytime Bray Wyatt comes on, I'm just like instantly I'm tuning out. But I feel, like I said, part of it is not all his fault.
Did you like it at first?
And then you didn't like it?
When it originally started, I did. I don't like this revamp as the Fiend and that.
Gotcha.
It just came back and I went, well, it's the same thing again, really, and you haven't really changed anything. And just the idea of him being in an outside place doing these vignettes in a goofy little house. And
oh, you don't like that?
I like that.
I like that part.
Yeah, I don't, because it doesn't make sense. To me, it doesn't make sense logically. I know we're talking pro wrestling, but it doesn't really make sense to me, especially when the shows are in a different arena every year, and then what, all of a sudden Seth Rollins shows up at the Funhouse?
Oh, that part doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that was horrible.
But every stuff before that I enjoyed.
So I think I'm going with Bray Wyatt, but I really feel a lot of it's not his fault.
I think we can say that sentence about a lot of picks from WWE.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the WWE picks, and you're going to hear them on the show over and over again today, but it's not necessarily the performer's fault, as we've really had our eyes open to this year with podcasts like Dean Ambrose.
That was amazing.
Talking about / John Moxley, talking to Jericho, but what goes on behind the scenes in WWE and what these performers are forced to do because they've signed a contract and they're part of the WWE wheel. Yeah. So I guess really we're blaming WWE for a lot of it. Sometimes performers can break through and those are the exceptions that we talked about last week on the Best Of show. But worst wrestler, Joe.
Okay, I think this is one of the exceptions where you could say he was partly
okay.
responsible.
All right, you're going to buck the trend.
It's Seth Rollins, man.
Yeah,
so
man,
from a work rate perspective, definitely one of the best, not arguing that. But he was in arguably two of the worst feuds this year, one of the worst matches this year, and he was a complete jerk on social media. And on top of that, he was supposed to be a face that we were supposed to be cheering.
Yeah. Well, he became the new Roman Reigns this year
as
the performer that WWE decided to push down our throats.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe, that's a great point in regards to the Twitter and his personality outside of the ring, is that unlike Roman, who every time you saw Roman off the WWE clock, it was, man, he's a likable guy.
Absolutely.
Why can't he do that on TV?
Yep.
And every time I see Seth off the clock, I'm like, oh, I don't care for him.
He's a jerk.
what a CM Punk type personality. Whoa. He'll come up later. Bartender Dave, your choice for worst wrestler of 2019. Dave, you should turn on your microphone.
Sorry about that. I haven't gotten used
to it. How many times
you done this now? I think that's twice, but it's about four beers deep. I went with Evil Uno.
Yeah, Evil Uno's a great choice.
I find him like just cringeworthy, and his voice, and just I don't buy anything about him. Like Stu Grayson.
Yeah.
You know, but Evil Uno, it's just, what?
That's a really hard one, because I really enjoy the vignettes that they've been doing to kind of build up the
Dark
Order.
The vignettes are good, but when it comes to wrestling.
But I agree with you. I agree.
I'd love to see it. Like
it should be somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah, somebody that can actually work.
Yeah, and, work the gimmick. Yeah. I agree.
Or it might not be that. I mean, to me, I think ring gear is such a huge problem with with Evil Uno. And also, why is he Evil Uno still? Should have been renamed when he took on the gimmick, and I've talked about this on the show over and over, that they're living half in an old gimmick and half in a new gimmick, and it is not working. But I guess we're going to talk about them, the Dark Order, quite a bit today. I love that you separated them, though, and left Stu Grayson onto himself.
Yeah, he's
and just
not that
went
bad. Like,
Evil
he's good.
Uno.
Yeah. He's got promise, a lot more promise than Evil Uno.
Mark, your worst wrestler of 2019.
Yeah, my pick is also a guy that has only himself to blame, I think, really.
Okay.
Or mostly himself, and that's Shane McMahon.
Shane, okay.
Going back to Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon is so brutal.
Yes,
I mean, we're talking about a guy that can't make it to the ring without turning red and sweating.
And the worst punches I've ever seen in my life.
And the worst part to me about Shane McMahon is how he takes other people's moves and spots.
Van Damme.
He also took
Van Damme's punches, for the record.
But also jumping off the top of the sell through the table is now, we no longer see Mick Foley in that clip. We now see Shane McMahon in that clip. And Shane McMahon had a crash pad underneath that table, which was obvious to anybody who watched it. You saw the crash pad inflate and balloon out the sides. And now he's the one who gets credit for that instead of Mick Foley, which I think is complete garbage.
Yeah, no, he's terrible. The only reason I didn't pick him is because we got some relief at the end of the year when he disappeared after they actually kept to that angle about him being fired.
I think
he'll be back.
I think
I'm
he, I think he stunk enough to go into the next decade.
No, I'm not arguing with you. And if I ever see that stupid dance on the way to the ring again, it'll be too soon.
The dance is the only part I like.
No way, man.
He's always got the different kicks on.
Oh, yeah. The dance was horrible. I hated that.
I don't mind the dance. The dance is the only part I like.
No way, man.
I like
Sorry,
Shane
Mark.
McMahon.
Sorry, Mark.
My pick for worst wrestler of 2019, not necessarily due to the gimmick, but because he completely disconnects when he gets into the ring. And it is Bray Wyatt here. We've seen him repeatedly, no matter what gimmick he's in. The gimmick itself is normally built quite well. However, he gets in the ring and nobody cares. Everyone got what they wanted from his entrance, and that's about it. So
yeah, he's completely Magoo in the ring.
Yeah, nothing happens. Like, there's nothing happens in his matches. And I think, anyways. We'll get
the patrons have selected for number three, 9% of the patrons voted in a tie for Bobby Lashley, Shane McMahon, and Marco Stunt crept in at 9%.
What?
Yep. Number two, Bray Wyatt, 12%. But number one, repeating last year, 24%, though. He's turned it around from 42%, and that is Baron Corbin.
That's my boy. He's winning.
The patrons do not care for him. All right, we move over to worst female performer. Last year, I selected Nia Jax. Mouth, you selected Alicia Fox, who is gone now.
Yes, thank
has
goodness.
Not been seen.
No,
the patrons,
is she completely gone or just off TV?
She was moved in sections on the website.
Yeah, not sure.
I
can't remember if she's.
She's
actually
got like the finest arms in all female professional wrestling. Like, if you see her flex, she's got gorgeous arms. Okay, I'll stop talking.
So strange.
Yeah.
Why, who invited him?
Yeah.
Nia Jax led the poll last year with 23% of the patron votes as well. Worst female performer, Mouth.
Well, this one I picked because it's easy to pick someone that's just bad, but I picked this person also because she's in a high-profile position, and she's really getting a push, and I don't understand why, and that's Dr. Britt Baker from AEW. Her promos are horrible. She's terrible in the ring. She looks incredibly nervous out there. I don't understand why she's almost being the focus of the division up until just the last couple of weeks, but I don't understand why they got behind her so hard and why they decided to push her so hard, because she seems to be lacking in all the essential areas.
They did a great job in Pittsburgh with her, but I agree. She's just not ready. She's great on commentary.
Oh, God.
She can't even tell she's there.
Let's not even. That was one of the other things. Exactly. She did commentary for that match and said like one thing.
That's not all on her, though. That's on the announcers for not throwing.
Well, they should have, been prodding her or something.
Joe, to you for worst female performer of 2019.
Yeah, if you've been listening to All Elite Wrestling Weekly, Britt Baker has to. Absolutely. Like, I mean, again, like Dan said, she's being pushed as one of the main components of the AEW's women's division, and she's arguably their worst performer, maybe with the exception of Brandi Rhodes.
That's a good point, Joe, because there are so many others in there that you'd want to see, like Stadlander or
Hayter.
Yeah, Hayter. Like, it's really weird. I don't understand it.
Dave, to you for this one.
Yeah, Dr. Britt Baker.
Are we going to get a sweep here?
She couldn't work her way out of a pair of wet panties.
That's it. Like, how? I don't know who else she could pick.
Mark, can you pick someone else?
No, I can't.
Britt Baker.
Yeah, I'm sad to say it.
Why is this a surprise, Jay? This should be so bad.
I want to like her, and the fact that she's a dentist.
It's a cool gimmick.
There's so much that I
doesn't
that,
work.
That and, could be good there.
Yes,
and sadly, she's just not.
And she's Adam Cole's girlfriend.
I've heard that before somewhere.
But she just doesn't have the reps, right?
Like, she just doesn't have. She's just a little bit green, and I think she knows it, which is the.
I wonder if her being pushed to this degree by them has put kind of a scare in her,
or she's kind of like, I don't know what to.
Like, you know what I mean? She seems still at this point seems nervous and trepidatious when she's out there. Like, that's the main thing in her matches. As you watch when she tries to do moves, there's always that kind of reluctance to go all the way. You know,
and it's a bummer. Because I want to like her.
I like the gimmick. I think it's a great idea, and I like the finishing move that pulls on the teeth.
Yeah,
and
that's
stuff
great.
Like that. But honestly, she's just not ready for that spot.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I'm the only one who's going to go different here.
Ooh.
And I'm going to choose. I just can't get over this gimmick. It doesn't work. Her as a performer in the ring is good, but I can't handle this gimmick, and it's Emi Sakura. I can't handle this Freddie Mercury garbage.
Right,
just terrible.
It does not connect. Also, Also, on top of that, Christopher Daniels was already doing it.
With the mic stand, yes.
Chris Daniels, yes. And dressing like Freddie as well.
Right, right.
So what is she doing? Why is she there? She can be used in a different aspect, but I fast forward. I have zero interest in watching this woman. And this, to me, is part of a bigger problem, and it is the AEW women's division.
Yes.
It's a mess. It is incredibly lacking.
It's a mess.
It's terrible. Yeah,
it's a mess.
And, you know, you talk comparison, especially between AEW and NXT, and NXT... Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler are on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, exactly.
It's arguably the worst women's division versus the best women's division on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, as much as I love AEW, the women are constantly disappointing.
Yeah, and they only get like one match a show, it seems. Like,
and I don't think injecting...
I don't know if we want any more
at this stage,
right? Yeah.
Give me something that I want to watch and then I'll demand more, but...
Well, you've got the Nightmare Collective coming up in 2020 and an Alien, apparently, because that's going to make sense.
Yeah.
The patron's choice for this... At number three with 7% of the vote, they had Lana. Number two with 12% of the vote, they had Nyla Rose. And number one, a tie with 18%. Yes, Britt Baker tied with Lacey Evans. Lacey Evans and our patrons are not fine.
She does not deserve that hate.
I like Lacey's improved, I think,
exactly.
This year. I don't think that's fair. Yeah.
All right. Well, the patrons have spoken. We're going to do one more category before we take a break. It's worst tag team. Now, the interesting part about tag team wrestling this year is there has been an emphasis put on it, which we have not been able to say for previous years. But that is one thing that AEW has done a very good job with, the opposite of what they've done with the women's division. So worst tag team last year. Mouth. You had the Ascension. Well, they're on to New Horizons
now. Yeah, they're done.
I hear
they're all elite.
Well, oof. I hope not. Rude and Gable as my choice, and the patrons picked the B team as their choice with 20% of the vote.
They were fun, though. I like those guys.
Well, they're still around, Dave. It's not past tense. You'll see them
doing a run nearby.
We have worst
no
tag
one else
team.
Cares.
I could bet on a streak here and maybe a sweep. What do we got? Dan Lavransky.
Well, again, I like the gimmick and I like the vignettes, but in the ring, I don't dig the Dark Order. Yeah. I don't dig them as a team. It's almost the same as the Bray Wyatt thing. I just can't get engaged in their matches. I really love this whole thing and this cult, the idea behind the gimmick, but in the ring... I think they're not good. They're just not good in the ring.
It's funny because I said, you know, AEW is the one that has the strong tag division.
Exactly.
But they are putting such an emphasis on Dark Order as well. They're trying, but...
I think it sticks out even more, Jay, because you have the Lucha Brothers, you have SCU, you have the Young Bucks, you have even the Best Friends. You have a lot of teams that are really, really great teams, and then the Dark Order just doesn't measure up.
Yeah, Santana and Ortiz as well.
Right.
Joe, what do you got?
Okay, so I'm definitely the outlier because I like Dark Order in the ring. I think they've got some good tag teams.
You're not? Listen, there are a few patrons out there. In particular, I know Steve from Toronto is the biggest fan of Dark Order, but he watched them as the Super Smash Brothers.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Really,
when they had a run up here.
Yeah. Really likes what they do. I can't get over their ring gear when they're in the ring.
No. I understand where you're coming from, the gimmick, but I'm also looking at their work, and I like some of their work.
Right.
So. I mean, the team that I still can't figure out why they're around is Zack Ryder and Curtis Hawkins, so they're my pick.
Ryder and Hawkins is your pick.
Yeah,
all right.
Never been a fan of them.
But that's one that, like, it's not really...
It's low tier.
Yeah, exactly. Just because of they've never had a real push or anything.
And no,
enhancement talent.
They're another team like the B team that we only see them when they do run-ins.
But the thing is, I like the B teams.
No, I like the B teams,
that's
too.
That's what we're learning out of this.
People to put over.
Ryder and Hawkins. I still think the Dark Order are better in the ring than Ryder and Hawkins.
All right, Dave, Bartender Dave, what do you got?
I don't like the Dark Order at all, but my least favorite tag team is the Young Bucks.
Yeah, you can't wait a second. You just can't stop. You got to explain
that. No, because like this is what I see. When I watch their matches, I see super kick, no sell, super kick, dive, super kick, sell merch, Meltzer driver, pin, flex.
Yeah, well, you're only watching part of the match then.
No, I'm watching the whole match.
I totally disagree.
Okay, no.
I disagree. I think that actually with Over the... And Jay and I have talked about this many times, that I think they have actually done a really good job with the storytelling and the selling, and they do it a lot more than, say, when they started. I agree with you. When they started, spot monkeys. Absolutely. But after seeing them at Strong Style Evolve last year and how they did that great selling in that match with the back injury and stuff, and they seem to try to work that in the best as they can. I'm not saying they're perfect by any means. means, but I really don't think they deserve Worst of the Year.
Well, for me anyway, but like I'll focus more on them and take a closer look, but everything that I see from them is the exact same thing over and over and over.
There's no doubt that they have a certain set of things they like to
Everybody does, but yeah. Theirs is just, it seems like they don't sell enough, they don't, you know?
I would say their biggest crime is not playing to the referee. The biggest thing that bothers me in Young Bucks matches is that they constantly ignore the referee, and yeah. I don't like that.
The one thing I do like about them is that they put over the other team right at the beginning of the tag division. I thought that was really good, but
they're losing too much right
now. Yeah, that's the thing. It's a delicate balance.
Let's remember, the common fans who are watching on TNT don't understand who they are, and you have to show that these guys are important. Right now, they're not. But Mark, your worst tag team, I highly doubt it's the Young Bucks.
It's Rude and Ziggler.
Rudolph is how they will be referred to on this show.
No, thank you.
Horrible stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Horrible.
In a time when we have as many incredible tag teams as we have, you threw these two guys together and put them where you put them. You know what I mean? You put them at
the
top of
that
division.
And they never even called them Rudolph. Like, that just, that's, it should have been.
I don't know if that would have made it better for me. I mean, maybe I would have laughed at that, but for me, Rude and Ziggler.
I mean, as Jay knows, I've always been a bit of a supporter of Rude. I really
like
him.
Yes, you have.
I thought,
on the other side, you have not liked Dolph Ziggler.
No. But I've always thought Rude got the really raw deal in the WWE, like more than almost anybody. Like, I just thought from all those years in TNA, he was one of the few things I liked about TNA. Sure. And I was really happy when he got picked up, and I'm just like, he just got wrecked from the entire time, from the moment he came in the door till now.
I really like Bobby Roode as well, but I think the thing that could have put him over is a better finisher.
Right.
That implant DDT or whatever he calls it, it's so boring.
I think there's a lot more than just a finisher.
I do too.
Who
I
is
do
Bobby Roode? He's a guy with theme music.
They should have kept the mustache.
That's it. But that's all he is. He just has theme music. We know nothing about him. That's actually a bigger discussion of how we don't know a lot about who a WWE character is.
Yes, there's no background.
There's really nothing to a lot of these people. I mean, that was even a flaw of John Cena. He was a superhero, and that's about it. Like, what did you know beyond that? So I think that's a big problem, and Rude fell into that. As far as tag teams go, my worst tag team, I don't like anything about them. I started to like the vignettes, and then we got what happened a couple of weeks ago when they invaded the main event, and that is Dark Order. Here's what the patrons thought. Number three, two teams we have not mentioned, with 12% of the vote, the Forgotten Sons. They were not forgotten by the patrons. And
those guys are terrible.
The Iconics. The Iconics get a vote because of what they do in the ring and when they have the tag title.
I agree.
Hey, man, horrendous. I agree. In the ring, it's terrible, but man, I'm sorry. They're so awesome.
They really are.
So.
When they do that pose, it's fantastic.
14% went to Rudolph, which is Ziggler and Rude. And the number one vote with 19% was Dark Order. We shall take a break. We shall come on back. Stick with us. It is a fun show. It is the worst of 2019 in the world of pro wrestling. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
I'm here at Great Lakes Brewery in Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada, among the bubbly excitement of hearing the transmission of the first ever experience of Thrust and IPA.
Lucky, can is open.
Initiating proper can tipping into vessel. Immediate observation, this beer's appearance is absolutely breathtaking.
Noted. Continue.
Also noting a penetrating aroma of grapefruit, mango, grape, stone fruit, and lychee.
Continue, Lackey.
Huh. I pounded back a gulp successfully. It did elicit a poking and prodding of tropical fruit and resin on my taste buds.
All right.
It appears my palate is succumbing to the perforation of Thrust and IPA. All right, I gotta go. Over.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thrust and IPA. A New England IPA brought to you by the spacey intergalactic folks at Great Lakes Brewery. Drink it fresh, please.
I know, we're all very excited, and, well, we have to admit, Baron Corbin as King of the Ring, well, that is just a breath of fresh air. Now, I know most of you wanted anybody but me as your king. But now you're starting to realize I'm not only the king you wanted, but the king you needed.
But it's my destiny to be the king of me.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. This is one of our most fun shows of the year where we go through and recap the worst of the year in professional wrestling via all of our categories. If you want to check them out, of course, you can follow along with the show on our Facebook group. Just search SNME Radio. Of course, I'll also have them posted up on the Patreon at patreon.com/SNME Radio. And the extended version of this show will be set up there. The room is full. There's five of us here. All the guys who make Sunday Night's Main Event each and every week. But right now we move on to our next category, and hopefully we got no votes in this category. I'm proud to say we did not. The patrons did not vote for us. Worst on the mic. Now, Mouth, last year you voted for Baron Corbin, as did the patrons at 33% of the votes. I voted for someone that I wouldn't even dream of voting for this year, which is Dean Ambrose,
who's
now Jon Moxley.
Yes.
What a resurgence he has gone through, which is why I picked him last week for comeback of the year. But worst on the mic, what do you got for us this year, Dan Lavransky?
Eat it, Dave. Baron Corbin.
Really?
Yeah,
he's
man.
He's so good.
He's so bad. I instantly wanted to, I know he's a heel and we're supposed to hate him, but it, to me, it's X-Pac heat. I don't hate him for the right reasons. He's turned the channel heat to me. I can't, as soon as I see him and he opens his mouth, I'm out of there.
Come on, I'm even wearing his original t-shirt that he'd come out.
Yeah, and that's another reason why we will never be seen together in public.
I actually have to, you know, I disagree with that because I look at the performer that he is and the way that he handles script, and I do think that he delivers what he's there to do very well.
Well, I don't.
Yeah, okay. Well, Joe, what do you got?
I went with Bobby Lashley this
year. Yeah.
He was horrible
that
as a babyface, and he's marginally better
sad
as a heel.
Because his run in TNA, he was actually turning into a good heel promo.
And I think that's part of it is because I had expectations when he came into WWE, and then all of a sudden he'd open his mouth and it'd be like, no, dude, you shouldn't talk.
So
and
to me, that's another one where I would blame the company more than the performer.
Oh, I blame the company there because when he came in, I was like, all right, Lesnar Lashley,
here we go. Totally.
Give Lashley a mouthpiece, get MVP in here, let's do it. And let's run with it. And they have botched Bobby Lashley
so tremendously. Oh, yeah.
And you're right, Joe. He sucks charisma out of the crowd whenever he takes the mic.
Big time. Horrendous.
Yeah, every time that I see him, I think of his Finley feud when he called him a bath turd.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that. That's way back in the day. All right,
bath
Dave.
Turd is a great word.
I know, right?
It is. 2019, your worst on the microphone.
Originally, it was Bobby Lashley, but I turned it into Evil Uno because I just can't buy him on the mic because he's got this evil presence and they're trying to push him that way, but he just...
Doesn't sound evil, does
no.
he?
No, not at all. I wish he did, because it's a great gimmick.
I agree, totally.
I don't mind, again, in the vignettes, remember the vignette when he was at the front of the crowd and he was speaking? I actually thought when they wouldn't shoot his face and he wasn't wearing the mask, I thought that was very clever, and I thought he did a good job with that, but I don't think it transfers over to the live crowd at all.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Absolutely not.
So
I see what you're saying. Evil Uno is just Dave's just running with Evil Uno. I can't wait to see him pop up in a worst female in the mic category as well. Mark, what do you got?
There's a lot of contenders here for me, but I think I'm going to go with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, that's
Seth
so
Rollins.
Valid.
A guy
that one. Like
yeah, who's supposed to be a babyface, and I do not believe that that heel turn was intentional. I think the crowd turned on him because he's so brutally unlikable, and I don't think he was doing it on purpose.
And picks like that, I think, are more viable because not only is he bad, but he's one of the top guys.
It's
easy to pick someone that's at the bottom of the ladder and say this guy's crappy, but he's one of the top guys. Yeah,
that should not happen. Like, I think we had a conversation about is there a worse couple that you'd hang out with other than Seth and Becky? Just imagine that. We talked about that before.
I feel like Becky might be all right.
I'd be okay with hanging out with Becky. With Seth, though,
but I mean, together,
you know what? I'll take your Seth and Becky and up you with AJ and CM Punk. Okay. I don't want to be in the same room as those two. Alrighty. So
my second place, though, would be going along those lines is Miz.
This year, Miz?
I am over it.
Oh, I'm done.
Yeah, he's really fallen off.
I'm over his delivery.
The babyface turn did not help either, right?
You're right. He's not a good babyface.
No, I can't buy him as a babyface at all.
But if you watch his reality show, he's very likable.
It's incredible how that doesn't transfer.
Lavransky looked at me like, watch his reality show. He was insulted to his core.
I have to watch enough junk as it is, Mark. All right.
All right. Fair worst enough. On the mic. My pick, guys, is going to be someone who tells me over and over again that he is a superhero, and that is Ricochet. And Ricochet was tremendous in NXT. Dave,
agreed.
We were covering it. Remember when he ran down the ramp? And no, he ran out of the ring and did the flip standing right face to face in front of Velveteen Dream.
Oh,
he was incredible. It is completely scripting. Granted, he's not the most charismatic individual, and he should primarily be silent. But the way WWE is scripting him, because I just want to prove superheroes are real. And then they have the announcers talk about that as well.
You say resident superhero, your career is over.
He's awful. So that is my pick, and here is what the patrons picked. 12% in third place picked Ricochet. 17% second place Baron Corbin. And the number one pick is, agreeing with Mark Andrade, Seth Rollins, 28%, because I think the patrons realize it just comes through because that's not just his character.
That's him.
Really him.
Yeah, right. And most of the time, usually your amped up character is beneficial to being a good wrestler. And this time it's like, no, it's not.
Well, not when he was supposed to be a babyface.
Right.
You know?
We move on to Worst on the Mic, the female edition. Last year, we had a tie mouth we both picked. Actually, all of us. The patrons, you and I, all picked Nia Jax last year. She has really not been
non-entity.
Present this year.
Yep, non-entity.
So I don't suspect she will be chosen or selected. And instead, mouth, who do you have?
Well, I've already railed. And again, for the spot she's in and the push she's getting, it's Britt Baker.
Really? Britt? Yeah. All right. Britt Baker as number one.
I don't mean to pick on her, but for the spot she's in and the work she's doing, it's not catching on.
You know, that's the thing, though. I mean, if you do think about that in regards to Britt Baker, you know, people in AEW, they don't have the feeder organization there. You know, I guess they have Dark, but Britt is put into the main event picture, and I guess she's
right
just not ready.
Right from the get-go, right? Like, right out of the gate.
Joe. I'm guessing we might have
I'm not gonna pick on her because I'm gonna pick on her later.
Okay.
So,
she's gonna
awesome. So I gotta go with Lana. Like her overemoting during this whole Lashley Rusev thing
brutal.
Has been brutal.
Okay, like, but what a seamless transition from her Russian accent to her. Well done.
Just, beautiful. Just 1 week it ended. That was the transition.
Very smooth.
Just brutal. All right, Dave. Here we go.
I hate her new haircut, and I'm going to call it Bailey.
Bailey.
I just despise her on the mic. I just don't buy her at all.
I agree. She's not very good. She is someone that has a real challenge delivering scripted material. I don't know who she is.
She's one of those ones that should not be playing a heel.
Yeah.
She's not a heel.
I don't think she believes in herself.
Exactly. You can't buy into her as a heel because that's just not the way. It's almost like when Ric Flair was a babyface. It was really hard to buy into that.
Exactly.
And even Flair himself always said he loved being the heel better, right? And that's with Bailey. I cannot buy her as a heel in the slightest. I don't care what you do to her hair or what you do to her outfit. She's just not believable.
That's like the moment when she cut down her
incredible that was great.
Buddies.
Yeah, that was cool. That was great.
But that's not a promo.
But if you look at what's happened with, because when Bayley went up on the main roster and was completely botched, which she has been, and then I looked at NXT and I'm like, oh, Dakota Kai. That's Bailey 2.0. But then you look at the difference between the heel turn, because Dakota Kai's heel turn was incredible.
Amazing. It was great.
And the character is kept up as well. And I think that, I don't know what is due for her on the so-called main roster, but Bailey, not ideal. And in regards to not being able to deliver scripted promo, I literally just changed my pick because that prompted something in my brain of the person that I can't stand when they try to deliver a scripted promo.
Ooh, I can't wait for this.
Natalya. Yeah. Natalya. Is my pick. Sorry, Mark, I skipped over your pick.
Excited. No. It went seamlessly in.
So Natalya is my pick because she just can't deliver anything scripted.
No.
And she's been in the business for so
long time.
But everything she says seems so forced when she speaks.
That's the curse of the hearts, really, isn't it?
Nice. Perhaps. Yeah. Some of the hearts could pull it off, though. I mean, I thought Brett had some really killer promos.
Especially in the Attitude Era, Brett had amazing promos. Right?
Sure, yeah, fair enough.
All right, Mark, sorry about that. I jumped you there.
That's okay.
What do you got?
Mine is, she's not around often, But when she is, she's so brutal that she still takes it from me as Stephanie McMahon.
Really, yeah?
Stephanie,
yeah, like,
go
hardly...
away.
Oh, I
get
know.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Being in... Oh, she is...
Anyone
she's,
named McMahon, get out of
she's
there.
She's responsible for the women's evolution.
Oh, that is yeah, awful.
She shows up with her
laughable.
Charity stuff. Get out of here. Turn it off. Like, when she comes to the ring and she is the leader of all of these women, nah, no thank you.
That's amazing that that's the pick, because we really didn't see Steph a lot this year.
It doesn't matter. Anytime she comes on the TV,
it doesn't matter.
As soon as I hear her voice, yeah. I get up and I leave.
I hear you, brother.
I've got a million other things
you.
To do. I got soup on the stove.
Hey,
I got laundry
go clean
the
toilet,
in the thing.
Anything,
oh,
right?
my yeah. gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, worst on the mic as far as the patrons have said. In third place, 11%, we mentioned her, Bailey. Second place, a tie, Britt Baker with 13%. Someone we did not mention. Dana Brooke finds her way onto the list here.
Yeah, she's pretty bad.
She is a terrible promo. I'll yeah. give it to her. I'm curious to see what 2020 holds for Dana Brooke because of Batista.
But that's the thing. She's one of those picks that we were talking about earlier.
Low
she's
tier.
She's so low tier.
Low tier. Who
that's
cares?
Not, she's low
not,
on the card, so why?
It's not fair. Exactly. Yeah. The more relevant ones are when you're put at the top and you're no good, then that's a problem.
And maybe
that
next
was,
year, though, right?
Maybe. Well, number one, 20% of the vote. She's been on TV a lot lately. Lana. Lana gets it with number one. Okay, so we continue on here, and we'll do one more category before we take a break, and it is Worst Announcer. Last year, Mouth, you and I agreed Corey Graves was our pick. The patrons disagreed. They picked Jonathan Coachman with 26%. Coachman pretty much been removed from WWE as far as announcing goes. This, however, is announcer, backstage interviewer, etc. One of my most passionate picks this is. I'll get to it, but who is your pick, Matt?
Well, it's someone that I don't really want to pick, but and I feel other guys have issues. Like we've talked about Mauro and how much Mauro has really no sense of dynamic, and he just kind of stays in one point. But at least he gets the people over, and he doesn't make snide, sarcastic remarks, kind of digging at the very product he's
goodness.
Trying to push. So I'm picking JR.
Wow. That is
I'm
crazy.
Sorry. No, it's not. No, it's not. You don't, I mean, you're not watching it as close as Joe
no,
and I.
I get it. No, I'm not. I'm not saying your pick is crazy. I partially agree with your pick. He's a shell of what he used to be.
I find that almost every single episode, if you listen to the podcast, I usually try to pick one or two where I find that JR says something that's just so stupid
yep.
and so sarcastic
yep.
and so detrimental. And it's like, why are you even there? Shivani and Excalibur would be fine on their own. You don't even need to be there, and especially if you're going to sit there and make smart-ass remarks that are detrimental to getting the product over, especially when it's a new promotion and you have guys that look at you as a legend and put you in this spot because of your legendary status, and you start to crap on the product. I can't handle it.
The reason why I was saying that was amazing is because many years we would select him as the best
Absolutely.
Announcer.
Absolutely. And that's
why I'm saying, but I agree with you.
And that's why I said at the beginning, I'm yeah. sad to pick him. I don't want to pick him,
yep.
but I'm sorry. He's the worst.
All right, Joe?
I got to go with Corey Graves.
Okay.
Every time he talks, I want to punch him in the teeth. So, and I don't mean that in like a heel way. It's more like I want to kick his teeth out so he never speaks again.
All right. Dave?
Okay. Yeah, I went with Excalibur.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel, now going back to what you said about JR, I feel that Excalibur's a lot of the reason why JR has lost so much credibility. It feels like he's not helping JR at all get over he's making JR, I feel like he's hurting his credibility because he's accusing him of being confused at times. And like, granted, he's an older gentleman and he might get confused. Like that whole Butcher and the Blade when it came out, I felt like that. And I just, whenever I hear his hype voice, it makes me think
yeah,
that he's like a second-rate Josh Matthews.
That whole Butcher and the Blade thing would have worked a lot better if JR had just gone with his emotions and go, who are these guys? What are these guys? Who are these? What are they doing here?
Yeah.
Like, instead of trying to second guess things and try to act like, oh, well, what is this? Like, I can't put the blame on Excalibur. I don't think you put the blame on anybody but JR himself. I just don't think at this stage in the game he's in the right headspace.
I think that Tony Schiavone is like
Schiavone
everything
is the star
to that
of,
show right now. He's absolutely good.
Mark.
I agree, JR.
JR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because he's the most damaging. He's got this pedigree. He's got such clout. He's a legend. He's a legend. And he is subtly, and I would hope, inadvertently burying the show that he's on.
That's how I feel every week, like, Mark, when I watch it.
Specifically, you brought up the Butcher and the Blade.
Yeah.
And the way he handled that with the, who are these people? Like, there was a dismissive tone there. Like,
It should have been like, oh my God, who are these people?
As opposed to, it sounded like it's simple. It sounded like he was saying, you've made a mistake, AEW. We don't know who they are. Why should we care?
Oof.
Instead of saying, oh my gosh, I should care because they came up through the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, and that was his, he did that.
Yep.
That was his fault.
Yep, I agree.
And so much of it is that. And going to your thing about Excalibur and saying it's Excalibur's fault, I disagree, because he was also garbage on New Japan. When he was commentating for New Japan,
I hated that. I was garbage, and I was so mad about it.
Because I was looking forward to him coming in. I go, oh, here we go. JR is gonna, he's gonna bring this.
He didn't do the work necessary to call the match.
Yeah, he didn't. It sounded like he didn't even know where he was.
He phoned it in.
No,
you know, the other thing too is, like, he has this great thing, like, where someone will do a finishing move and he'll go, oh, well, isn't that called this? And he'll take away from somebody's finisher. It's like, no, yeah, JR, here it's called this. It's not called the stunner or the diamond cutter or whatever. Here it's called this. And don't sit there and say, oh, well, that's a blah, blah, blah.
Literally the opposite of what Jericho did with Jake Hager, right?
Yes, you're right.
The literal
opposite
of it.
Where he destroyed what it was from the past in WWE and pushed up who this new persona is. And JR harkens back to the past. JR's like, this isn't as important anymore.
And again, I feel bad because I think Cody has picked him because of his pedigree and of his
100%.
History. Well, and he's not pulling it off.
Well, you know what? I think JR deserves to get a pedigree. How about that?
Perhaps the crossroads.
Yeah, they call it something else in the.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Let me get my pick out of here. This is a gentleman that just had no business being on television. And listen, I am a TV presenter, and I watched this guy, and he was put in a. He should have just said no. And if he didn't say no, he should have dressed at least appropriately and not worn some weird acid wash jeans on the air, which the jeans were probably not as bad as his delivery. He has no business being on TV. Now, since this time, AEW has pretty much pulled him off, and that is Alex Marvez. This guy is horrendous.
Yep.
He is Mike Adamly bad.
Agreed.
That's how bad this guy is. He is just absolutely and utterly the worst. Now, in regards to JR, at least they've taken Adamly off. At least they've taken Marvez off TV, and JR is still there. But I pick Marvez. This guy is just do something else. Get off my television. Here is what the patrons pick, guys. Number 3. Michael Cole, 9%. Let's face it, we spent a lot of time with Michael Cole. Number 2, Alex Marvez at 19%. But number 1, Corey Graves is at number 1. And it was Joe's pick there. 33% of the vote goes to Corey Graves for worst on-air talent, which is crazy because at a point, we picked him for best a few years ago.
He's very annoying now.
Yes, he is.
When Graves started, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
He really was. But that's it. Like Joe says, you just want to kick him in the teeth.
Yeah.
We must take a break. We're going to come on back. Lots more categories to come. Very fun shows. Cathartic if you're a wrestling fan. Listening to what we're talking about, all the worst moments and worst gimmicks and worst players of 2019. We're doing it right here at Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Dan the Mouth Lebranski.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old fucks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old fucks. Tough guy!
Myself and Awesome Kong, we make up the Nightmare Collective, an extension of the Nightmare family, sure, but we do the jobs that no one else wants to do. We execute those jobs exactly how we see fit, and no one ever asks any questions. That is how we prefer it.
And Brandon does her best to understand.
Welcome back. It's Sunday night's main event, and we are chatting about our worst of 2019 picks, which is always a very boisterous show here as we throw out picks and then argue throughout the show, as I'm sure you do as well when you're watching at home or with your friends, etc. There's a lot of bad to talk about. Luckily, this year had a little bit more good than the past few years, but that was last week's show, which, of course, you can find and download at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. But our next category here is worst non-wrestling performer. This is you can do managers here, GMs, and last year, I picked Dasha Fuentes. You picked Bobby Lashley's sisters last year. Bobby Lashley hasn't gotten any better. Dasha, however, has gotten better.
You guys even remember that angle?
Oh, yeah. That's totally when I turned it off for a while.
Here, the patrons last year. Remember, this category's best non-wrestling performer. The patrons picked Baron Corbin. Like,
what a
another
burn.
Win.
So what do we got this year? Worst non-wrestling performer, Mouth.
Okay, well, I'm going to go to AEW once again and pick Brandi Rhodes because she's not good. It's confusing. She's a babyface with Cody. That whole thing with building up to his match with Jericho, she was the babyface. Now she's the heel putting together her stable with Awesome Kong. I don't think she's really particularly good at doing promos. And as someone that likes to see the return of managers, this isn't what I want, though.
No, it's really bad, and I think it's only going to get worse.
Unfortunately, yeah, I think you might be right.
She's got a bit of a Stephanie vibe to me.
I would have been better if she was in that Stephanie role of just, you know, she is Cody's wife, and then she could be taken advantage of in certain scenarios. MJF asks for her and a night with her something like that. Listen, I know it's cliche, but it's better than what we're getting in this Nightmare Collective thing.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea of Awesome Kong as a heel, but her as
not
the
with her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not with her.
It's also her put on voice. She puts this voice on that's like a lower register, the same way Stephanie does.
Yes.
And the same way, I think they like a lot, like WWE likes a lot of their women to do, to like...
I think Stephanie's got a better delivery than her. Like,
Stephanie's a more seasoned performer.
Yeah, I believe it when Stephanie's saying something. When you can tell that Brandy's like just... reciting, like it's horrible.
I think, you know, if you look at Brandi, who was at one time the figurehead of the women's division, she parallels the status the women's division is in, an inexperienced on-air performer that is miscast and not delivering well.
The person that should be in that spot.
Joe, your pick.
Cannot disagree. Brandi Rhodes is horrible.
Oh, Brandi Rhodes, okay.
Oh my god, this like, I mean, right out of the gate, the Nightmare Collective thing isn't working, but even prior to that, her involvement in almost anything has been so-so at best.
Yep, I agree. All right, Dave.
This was an easy one for me, and I've hated, hate's a hard
word. Hate's a strong word, but it's valid in some places.
Yeah, I have not liked this non-wrestling performer the whole time, and it's Aubrey Edwards.
Yeah, you went off on this when we were chatting a couple times. For those of you who don't know, let's state who this is. This is the referee,
female referee
in AEW.
Yeah.
What's your reasoning?
Because I don't know if I'm a purist or something like that. I find that the referee should be in the background and not right up in front of you. It feels like she's always there with her hands and doing this, and like she's more part of a match. She's trying to get herself over. That's what it always feels like.
That's so funny, because the main complaint about the AEW referees is that they're not involved enough in the match. And to me, she strikes me as the one that at least is involved, pays attention, whereas half the other referees just stand there and like stare off into space.
I think she's.
So I'm funny that you find that she does too much, because really that's the complaint against the other referees.
I just find that she's too animated and jumping up and down and like, oh my god!
She's
like,
a referee. Have you seen Red Shoes?
I was just about to say, you're talking to the wrong guy.
I understand that, but I like the referee to be more in the background, and it just feels like she's not doing anything to focus on the performers that she's taking away from it. But that's just my take on it. I personally
like her, just because I think a lot of the other referees just stand there and stare into space and don't do what they're supposed to do. And I think she's one of the ones I think is actively trying to do what she's supposed to do.
Red Shoes was my runner-up for best non-wrestling performer. I didn't say
it. Oh, you could have totally picked him.
I really like him.
I totally love him. He's great.
And Tiger, too. Tiger's great. And maybe Tiger should have gone at his because he retired this year. But
Tiger is fantastic,
All right, interesting choice. Mark, what is yours for worst non-wrestling performer?
Worst non-wrestling performer is Alex Marvez's facial hair.
Oh,
specifically
his facial
hair.
Good.
love it.
You got it.
I don't know if this guy did a good job or a bad job because I couldn't hear anything past his face. What is that on your chin? Get it out. Grow the whole thing or get it out of here. I don't know what that is. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, I'm not going to argue over someone crapping over Alex Marvez. That guy just shouldn't be on TV. Honestly, but I mentioned how in the last block, when I talked about him being my worst announcer, Alex Marvez is not polished in delivery or look. And I agree, the facial hair is part of it. He needs a stylist. He just needs to be not on television. But, you know, generally, if you're on television, you should have, if you can't deal with it, have a stylist.
There was more than once I noticed that the shot, whoever's directing AEW, they were wide when these guys were all sitting down and you could see their crumpled khakis, you know?
Oh, yeah. No.
And it's like, I don't want to see the crumpled crotches of these men.
The line is called... Nuts and guts, because that's what you saw in that show. I will give it to AEW. They did that on one show, and they fixed it.
Yeah.
And that is something that, up until the last few weeks, they've been very good at doing. Something goes wrong, and they fix it. And I'm curious to see. There's too many factions.
Right.
That's wrong. Yeah. Will they fix it?
But how do you fix when the nuts and guts are on your face?
You get that face off television. And for the most part, Mark, for the most part, they fixed it.
You're right.
Alex Marvez, I've seen one backstage vignette.
He's on very little now.
But did he shave?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think he still has a problem.
Okay.
Worst non-wrestling performer, my pick strays from what you guys have said, and mine is someone that has the dislikability of Seth Rollins and has for some reason returned, CM Punk. I can't stand him. Dave, he's your old favorite.
I love him.
Yeah.
Love it.
I can't stand him.
He's really too smug. He's smug.
But that's great. That's fantastic. He's a natural heel. I love that.
CM Punk, for when he gained his popularity, he was the voice of the voices, the voice of the people saying things that wrestling fans wanted, and when they were watching, they wanted, and now he's just proven that he's all out for himself, and he's a dink on Twitter. He's a dink in real life. He's a dink on the stupid show that he's on.
Triple dink is what he is.
And when he has a feud with Triple H inevitably.
Triple dink with a dildo
with a giant dildo.
Here we go. Your patron votes led us this way. Number three, worst non-wrestling performer, Shane McMahon at 9%. Number two, Brandi Rhodes at 15%. Number one, who did not make any of our list, Lana, 18% for worst non-wrestling performer. We don't have time to do the next category. We must take another break. When we come back, a whole nother hour of the worst of in the world of pro wrestling. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're doing so on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.